This is Fresh Air. Ron Shelton used to play minor league baseball. He's gone a lot further as a filmmaker. His first movie, Bull Durham, took him back to the locker room of a minor league team. Shelton wrote and directed the film. His next movie, Blaze, went into the smoke-filled rooms of Louisiana politics. Shelton has returned to sports for the new film White Men Can't Jump, about the homeboys who play basketball on the streets of L.A. This comedy stars Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes as two talented basketball players with an ingenious hustle that works off other players' racial stereotypes. Some of the ballplayers featured in the film are former NBA stars. The film is number one at the box office. Reviewing it in the New Yorker magazine, Terrence Rafferty called it a sane, savvy picture that's also unpredictable enough to produce more than a few moments of comic euphoria. Ron Shelton talked about the film with Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet. He told her why he wanted to make a film about playground basketball.
I'm just so fond of the world and the nonsense and the theater and the insulting and just sort of the whole emotional freedom of it that I thought I ought to try to capture it in a bottle before I was getting too old.
The dialogue that takes place in the movie on the court is very much a black street slang because it's mostly an all-black cast. And did you pick this up from the ball courts in L.A. to get the dialogue for the film?
Well, I have an easier time talking to my colleagues on the playground than I have talking to studio executives in Hollywood. So it's a language that I'm more familiar with because I grew up on the playgrounds and I grew up on the, at least in the, you know, in the locker room, in the whole world of jock private language. And of course, that's pretty heavily influenced by black street talk. But, you know, I just write what I hear. And in the rehearsal, a lot of the actors and I work together to kind of build riffs on dialogue that's scripted so that we can take off and go with it.
One of the common mind games that you show that goes on the court is using your mama insults, and you have a lot of them in the film. Did you make them up, or did you hear most of these, and could you tell us some of them that you hear?
Well, the mama jokes, of course, are a real playground staple and almost a time-honored ritual of insulting the other guy's mama, one that I've always been amused by, you know, having had a wonderful mother, defensive about. But I wrote the whole "Your Mom Was an Astronaut" riff is in the script, and it goes on and on and on. And in rehearsal, some of the actors started trying to top the "Your Mom Was an Astronaut" joke, which was scripted, and I couldn't find a place to put it. So I told two of the actors, Kadeem Hardison and Ernie Harden, to go home and come back with as many mama jokes as they could possibly come up with, and I would see if I could build a dueling mama joke, like a dueling banjo, into the rhythm of the scene. So they came back with pages of mama jokes, and most of which are on the cutting room floor, by the way, just for length. I could have done 2 hours of these, and we found a way to work them into the drama so that they are sort of always, there's this ongoing mama joke thing while the rest of the story goes on.
Do you remember how it went with the stuff that you cut out of the movie, that your mama is an astronaut?
Well, I can remember. I mean, your mom was so fat, her blood type's ragu, that kind of stuff that I love. The trick is in the rhythms of the movie are real important because I wanted the dialogue and the whole drama to have basketball rhythms, which are frenetic, kinetic, reverse direction a lot, and not classically dramatic three-act rhythm. So in the mama jokes, I was more concerned with getting two or three or four of them in a row that had a rhythm rather than were they all the best mama jokes I heard. So sometimes the funniest mama joke would be surrounded by three flat mama jokes, and so I would take all of them out. In other words, it's I tell a mama joke, you top me, I top you, you top me, and get out while the rhythm is still alive. So, you know, I've got pages of them written down somewhere, a lot of which I couldn't use on National Public Radio.
I bet. What does that mean, though, your mom is an astronaut? Is that an insult? I didn't get
well,
like,
that's a good question. It's a very good question. I have heard so many absurd insults on the playground that you hardly knew they were insults or not, and that was what that was about. In other words, when in doubt, criticize the guy's mama. That's the basic rule. And if you don't even have a funny joke, criticize her anyway. And any self-respecting playground player will defend his mother. So it all becomes kind of a substitute adversarial issue, really.
My guest is film director Ron Shelton. His new movie, White Men Can't Jump, stars Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. Shelton also wrote and directed Bull Durham and Blaze. And we'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Writer and director Ron Shelton is my guest. Do you watch a lot of basketball on TV? And when you shot your scenes on the court, were there things you wanted to do differently?
I watch a little on TV. I don't have time for a lot, but you know, I wanted to put the camera where TV cameras couldn't go, which was what my idea about Bull Durham was, on a baseball field. On baseball has 17 cameras on the World Series. I have two cameras as a filmmaker, but I can put those two where none of the 17 can go. I can go in the locker room, the shower, the pitcher's mound, hear what they're saying out there. I can get in the face of the batter. I could do the same thing with basketball. In other words, we can see what they're saying to each other, and the camera will be right in their face on the court at all times. So that in a certain way, I can't recreate the ballet, but I can show the heart and guts of the sport. And that's what I tried to do.
When you're going to shoot the scenes on the basketball court, do you just let the guys play or do you choreograph them and tell them what to do?
Now, it's all choreographed within an inch of its life in order to look unchoreographed. And that's the real trick. We had a 4-week basketball camp with pro coaches. We had a big playbook that I'd worked out with my assistants. There were X's and O's everywhere, and one wonderful thing about working with athletes and athlete actors is that they're used to hitting their marks, especially athletes, and they can do it over and over and over. And we ran plays endlessly. We ran them for days, so that to make them look as if they were spontaneous. And that's the whole trick of this kind of choreography, to make it look and feel spontaneous. Because if you just throw up a ball, let them play, there's no way the camera could be in focus and there's no way the camera could follow them.
These matches in the film, these players are extremely good and they make these amazing shots. Did you have to do a lot of retakes for each scene? Was this really demanding on the players?
I'm glad you asked because, yeah, you have to shoot a lot of footage in basketball or any sports or any action. But one of the fun things was that I could tell all these athletes that for the first time in their life, they could forget all the lessons about fundamental soundness and conservatism that their high school, college, and pro coaches had been drilling into them. All that stuff about no behind-the-back passes, no hot dog moves, nothing, you know, nothing fancy. I said, forget all the coaching you've ever had. Now's the time to pull all these crazy tricks out of your, you know, bag. And expand on them, because the playground's about theater and flamboyance and looking good as much as winning. So it was a chance for a lot of them to cut loose in a way that they'd never been allowed.
You mentioned earlier that you in this film you really wanted to capture kind of the rhythm of a basketball game. And I was thinking about how sports is a lot about timing, and so is comedy. And I was wondering if these two things were ever at odds or if they work together.
Well, I don't think they're at odds. I think I have a slightly odd sense of comic timing. I mean, I like the laugh to come off the beat a little bit, and I don't write jokes. I always tell the, except for mama jokes, of course, which which are mostly brought to me in bushel loads. I don't write jokes. I try to write behavior and exchanges between people and the conflict out of them. And I always tell the actors to not go for the laugh. Play it real, and the laugh will come wherever it comes. So that makes the laughs unpredictable, and it makes, hopefully, a movie surprising. But I hate movies that are bam, bam, joke, bam, bam, joke. I think humor's in situation and in human conflict and in the humor of painful situations, not in the formula of a one-liner.
But the actors were going, you know, trying to get the audience to laugh, but they also, their characters were trying to get their friends to laugh at times on the court, too.
Yeah, but that's not classic jokiness. You're right about one thing, though. I mean, in this movie, I could break a couple other rules, too. Normally, you tell your actor, you're hamming it up, or quit trying to steal a part from the other guy. I told them to try to steal the scene from each other every time. Ham it up. Never again will you make a movie where you're allowed to violate all the rules of acting. In other words, stick your face in front of the camera, because that is the theater I'm trying to capture, the theater of the playground. So it was a chance for them to probably go more over the top than they'll ever be allowed to again.
From what I know, Woody Harrelson's father was a contract hitman for the mob, and I think he may even be in prison now, and some people believe that he was in Dallas on the day Kennedy was shot, and that he was one of the three tramps who were just behind the grassy knoll, and it's even possible he might have even shot JFK. And in your movie, the character that Rosie Perez plays, she stays home all day, and she studies all kinds of trivia because she wants to go on Jeopardy, and one of the pieces of information that she's memorizing is about Lee Harvey Oswald shooting JFK. Was that some kind of intentional inside joke for the movie?
No, it wasn't intentional, although it's funny that I've had Kennedy assassination jokes in two of my three movies. Because Lee Harvey, you know, Kevin Costner says Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in Bull Durham, and now I've got another Lee Harvey Oswald joke in this one. No, it was unintentional, and only later did I find out. I know the story of Woody's troubled background with his father and some of his family, and he's had a difficult background and one with violence in it. Only these rumors about his father's alleged involvement in the assassination I didn't hear about them until after Oliver Stone's movie came out. So that was just one of those fortuitous or miserable accidents.
Well, it's also very ironic that you had Kevin Costner in Bull Durham saying Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, and then he ends up playing Jim Garrison.
Yeah. I thought it was about I didn't want my liberal friends to start falling in love with these characters too much. I wanted to make sure they took enough positions that were politically incorrect and ridiculous.
Why didn't you want your liberal friends to fall in love with your characters?
Because I don't want to write liberal movies or conservative movies or ideological movies. I don't want to be the voice of the right or the left or the middle or anything. I just like to tell stories about human behavior.
You hadn't really been around movie sets much before you directed Bull Durham. Did you feel like you knew what to do when you hit the set?
You never feel like you know what you're doing, believe me. Anybody director who says he does is lying to you. But you got to pretend like you do while you figure out what the hell you're doing. I knew I could tell a story. I knew I could get performances with actors because I like actors. The trick is that when you're directing, you're moving an army, and it's a big, impersonal, logistical job, and that you have to keep that army moving incessantly without ever losing the emotional behavior of the story you're telling. So you have to be aware of these tiny details and nuance of behavior as you're shouting for the tanks to march into the Gulf, you know, and that's really the trick of directing.
How would you characterize your approach as a director? Like, what are the things foremost on your mind, and what do you think is important when you're working with the actors?
To gain their confidence and to build up their confidence. That's the first job of a director. You hire an actor, and you have to then make them believe that they are the best person in the world for that part and that they cannot fail, so that they have the confidence to try things, to relax, to do things that they might otherwise be too afraid of doing. An actor can't do his best if he's afraid. If he's afraid of being fired, if he's afraid of not pleasing the director, if he's afraid of not working, he has to it's like an athlete, and it's very much like managing a team. If a guy's going up to the free throw line to shoot and I'm the coach and I say, if you don't make that free throw, I'm going to bench you, the odds diminish that he's going to make it. If I say, you're my guy, make him or miss him, you're my guy, man, a guy's going to can two free throws.
So what are you working on now? What's your next film?
I don't know, but we have a championship basketball game Monday night. That's the most important concern. White Men Can't Jump crew, of which I'm the only white guy on the team, of course, has a game against the Reebok shoe team. And then if we win that, we play the Windy City Five. So I'm just trying to get through the basketball league without getting hurt, and then I'm not sure what I'll do next.
Of course, you don't have the benefit of editing.
No, I would like to take two a few times, believe me.
Okay. Ron Shelton, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Ron Shelton wrote and directed the film White Men Can't Jump. He spoke with Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet. Shelton wrote the lyrics for a song in the film that's sung by Aretha Franklin. Here it is. The music is by Benny Wallace.
If I lose, if I win, I'm a saint and I've sinned. And this game is getting very, 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 very long. Some you miss and some you made. Some you give and some you take. I guess I get it wrong.
This is Fresh Air.